at verse 1, and we'll read a little bit and see what the Lord has for us. And we want to welcome all those that's tuning in via live stream on the internet as well. Hallelujah. So let's begin. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. And Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man, and he said unto him, 'Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me?' And Amnon said unto him, 'I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister.' And Jonadab said unto him, 'Lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand.'" Father, we pray you add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the exposition of your most holy word. I pray that I would decrease and you would increase, and that you would give us a rhema word, God, to direct our lives. We wait upon you, God, like the whole earth waits upon you, God. For even the lions wait, Lord God, for you to bring them their meat. And here we are, God, a house of lions, a house of Judah, waiting for meat. But we're not waiting for physical meat. We're waiting for spiritual meat, Father God. We're waiting for manna from heaven, Father God. So come on down and feed us, God, not our bodies, but feed our souls, O King of Kings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Saints of God, I can't do a long recap because we got a lot going on. Hallelujah. Last week, if you remember, we observed how Amnon, amen, wanted his sister, his half-sister. And the Bible says he loved her, but a proper understanding of it would be that he lusted after her. Amen. It was not love. It was strictly lust. Amen. And so we looked at that and we talked about lust and the ups and downs of it and how to handle it. Amen. And last week, we actually saw how Amnon could not do anything to his sister. He couldn't get close to her, couldn't really have a conversation with her. Amen. And it was all because of the safety precautions and the mechanisms that the ancient Hebrews had in place. If you remember, amen, the Hebrews, amen, would not allow their unmarried daughters to be in the company of any men. Amen. Whether they were married, whether they were relatives, amen. Not only men, but boys their age. They wouldn't allow them just to play and be together, amen, because you never want to give place to the devil and you don't want to put confidence in the flesh, amen. And so we talked about, amen, how we have fallen in the area of protecting our daughters. And we also included our sons in that because we live in a generation, amen, where boys are getting abused just as much and as fast as girls these days, amen. So we went through a whole litany of different ways in which we're failing, amen, in protecting our children. And for those who don't have children yet, amen, store this message in your file cabinet, amen, because you're going to watch after what God had lent you, amen. For those of us with kids, amen, we need to be vigilant, amen, not only doing it and learning it from the Bible, amen, but all my history, my years working for the DA's office, all of the different, egregious things I saw, amen, prosecuting crimes, especially in the juvenile division. There's a lot of wickedness going on, and it's all because parents are not really protecting their children, amen. They don't know how slick the devil is, and they kind of just leaving their daughters and their sons to the wolves. Amen. And so we talked about that and we gave you some ways in which you need to look after your kids and me to look after my kids as well. Saints of God, tonight we want to pick up in verse 4 of chapter 13. And the title of this message is going to be Amnon Had a Friend. Somebody say, Amnon had a friend. And listen, we'll have several points, and y'all just be praying for me. Hopefully, we can get through them all. And if not, we just going to conclude, amen, with God's help, maybe next week or so. And so let's look at it, amen. In 2 Samuel 13 and 3, the Bible says, "But Amnon had a friend," hallelujah, "whose name was Jonadab." Now, saints of God, amen, if we follow our text, Amnon lusted. There was precautions and safety mechanisms in place. And so right then and there, the story was over, Jen. He could not do anything to her. He couldn't get to her. So it was over. It was over. But right when it was over, amen, the Bible says, but, a conjunction, amen. It's over, but something is going to happen, amen, to get it cranked up again. The Bible says, but Amnon had a friend. And when this friend gets involved, saints, amen, the fallout is going to be catastrophic, you see. That's how much damage friends can do, you see. Tamar is going to be raped. Ammon is going to be killed. The kingdom is going to be taken from David. A civil war is going to break out. Many people are going to lose their lives. And finally, Absalom is going to be killed by Joab, and David will never forgive his friend. You see? All of this because of a bad friend with bad influence. Saints of God, I'm going to play a little music for you, but tonight we're going to talk about something. I hope y'all don't get offended, amen? Brother Brent, just hit it for me. We're going to talk about something a little bit. Y'all remember this one? Yeah! Old school, old school, old school. Big brother, get up, show us how to dance on that. I'm joking, I'm joking. That's good, Brent, that's good. So, as I'm preparing my lesson, I just keep hearing that song. All right, okay. All right, back then hip-hop wasn't as bad as it is now. But tonight, y'all, we're going to talk about, what are we going to talk about?
Friends.
We're going to talk about friends. And a lot of y'all think y'all have friends. A lot of y'all think y'all have friends. And I'm praying in here that God send down such a spirit of revelation. I'm praying that as the word goes through, if there's any nabals, any fools, any destructive friends in your life, that God will bring their faces to your mind. Amen. He'll bring their faces to your mind. Amen. And he's going to sever those relationships tonight in this Bible study. That's what I'm praying for. That is what I'm praying for. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's not for anything else, but for your good and for the glory of God, I'm saying this. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Now, initially, we said that we would discuss this in regards to your children. And listen, everything that we say tonight, I want to apply to both. Amen. The friends of our kids, our children. Amen. But God just showed me, just open this thing all the way up. You see, because not only are kids subject to peer pressure, amen, and influence from friends, but even when we grow older, we big girls and we big boys, amen, friends still have a destructive capacity and capabilities in our lives, amen. And so this is going to be a word that covers all friends. We're just going to deal with it in global, amen. And as a parent, amen, listen for yourself and then listen for your kids. And then hopefully in the end, I can give a few hints about how to parent through bad friends and get your kids away from that, all right? Come on, give some glory to God, amen. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, as we talk about friends, we're just going to use like a theme scripture here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, the Bible tells us, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Be not deceived. And in the NLT, it tells us, don't be fooled. Because a lot of us are fooled. A lot of us think we can hang around whoever we want and it don't have an effect on us. And God's Bible is telling us, listen, he only tells us not to be fooled when we're in a situation whereby we can be deceived. Some people in here are deceived tonight. You think that your friendship is all right and it's not doing you any harm when it's ruining you and it's eroding the very thing that God's trying to build up in your life. So God says, be not deceived. Don't be fooled. And in the NLT, we can just go straight to the jugular. He says, don't be fooled. Bad company corrupts good character. You hear what he's saying there? You're trying to strive to be a good person, a good Christian, but if you hang around bad company, it's going to destroy, it's going to corrupt, it's going to eat away, it's going to erode, it's going to be like rust on iron, just eating away at your good character. And if you allow that to stay there sometime, you know what rust does unhindered, amen, to metal, amen. And metal is strong. Metal is like, ooh, we can take care of everything. It's strong. But give that rust sometimes. And the bottom going to drop out of it. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? So the Bible says, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. And so we'll have several points, amen. But before we get into it, this scripture is like, amen, this basket of apples right here. You see? And I got you some pictures for those who can't see. All right? Now, apples stay fresh if you cool them well for about a month. They stay fresh. And you can eat them for about a month if you keep them cool. All right? Now, these apples not going to last a month. They're not going to last a month no matter how cool I try to keep them. And the reason they're not going to last a month, amen, is because there is a bad apple in the bunch. When there is a bad apple in the bunch, the bad apple, amen, not only does it rot itself, but it begins to rot the apples around it. Amen. When a good apple touches a bad apple, when a fresh apple touches a rotten apple, that contact, amen, rottenness spreads. It spreads from the bad apple to the good apple, but it won't stop spreading until it spreads throughout the whole basketful. Anybody hear me up in here? This is where we get the saying, amen. What does it say? One bad apple spoils the bunch. And this is the biblical principle. And a lot of times God will give us physical manifestations of his biblical principles so that we can understand. And he showed us that through nature, through the apple. Amen. They will all spoil eventually when you got one bad one in the bunch. The Bible corroborates that, praise God, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 9. The Bible tells us like this, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Amen. And for those of us that bake in here, amen, if we look at this, amen, in another translation, maybe the NIV, it tells us, amen, hallelujah, a little yeast spreads throughout the whole batch of dough. Anybody that bake in it, all you know is all you need is a little bit of yeast. And it's going to make the whole thing rise. You see what I'm saying? And so it is with our friends, saints. So it is with our friends. The rottenness spreads. The leaven leavens the whole lump. John MacArthur says this, it is impossible to associate with wicked people without being contaminated. It is, and this is what the Bible is saying, it is impossible to associate with wicked people without being, what's that word? Contaminated, both by their ideas and their habits. Because both of those things are dangerous. Because listen, when we dig into this, you don't want to have their ideas in your head. Neither do you want to pick up the habits that their hands carry. Amen? Amen? All right. Y'all, this is a truth. And you can either believe the Bible or you could believe your own common sense. But I'm going to tell you, let God be true and every man be a liar. Amen? A little leavens the whole lump. And evil communication corrupts good manners. This is true in adults, but it is especially true in children, friends. And as you raise your children, as you're watching for your friends, parents, you got to be ever so careful to watch their friends and the people they hang with. Now, when I say friends, I don't want you to just think non-family. I want you to think of family. I want you to think of brothers and sisters. I'm talking about people you hang tight with. Because some of y'all got rotten brothers and sisters and rotten cousins and rotten uncles and rotten nieces, amen. People in your life that's going to spread decay, amen. Not only is being satisfied with decay in their life, they want to spread decay in your life, decay in your marriage, decay in your children, decay in your finances. And here tonight, amen, we're going to teach you how to stop that decay, how to deal with those bad apples, how to get them out the bunch, amen, so you can keep something for the Most High God. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. So let's look at it. Let's look at it. Amen. Let's look at it. Now, I want to start off with the first point. Amen. I want to talk about how we are prone to corruption. I want to prove to you that, because still some in here are going to say, listen, I'm a big boy, I'm a big girl, I can hang what I want, I'm going to do what I got to do, I have a strong mind, and none of that's going to affect me. And the devil is a liar. And even though I show them the scripture, they still not going to break party with those wicked friends, with those evil friends, with those decaying, corrupt friends. And so listen, I gave you the two scriptures. That should be enough. You should be done with that. But just in case you're not, let me go into a study about who we are as people and why we are prone to corruption when we get in bad company. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right. So we are prone to corruption as human beings because, A, we love the praise of men. We love the praise of men. That's why our friends around us can influence us, because we love the praise of men. Jesus said it best in John 12 and 43 when he was rebuking them. He says, listen, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Pastor, what's the praise of men? The praise of men is this propensity that we have to want to be liked, to want to be accepted, for others to think that we are cool or part of the in club. We want to be part of the clique. Amen. We want to hear well done. We want to hear good job. We want accolades. Amen. And that love for the praise of men make us do things to get those accolades. Amen. And the problem comes in, amen, if we hang with good people, then it's a good thing, because when we do good things, we get a hallelujah. We get a praise the Lord. And that's good. But the problem is when you have bad friends. When you have bad friends, you're going to only get a praise when you do bad things. So you're hanging with the wrong crowd. And the wrong crowd is a gang. And so they're going to pat you on the back. They're going to give you kudos only when you jack something, steal something, when you arm rob something, when you sell some dope. And then they're going to come around, boy, you're my boy. I'm going to ride with you forever. And you feeling good because you love the praise of men more than you love the praise of God. And that's a big problem. That's a big problem. We have to get to a place in ourselves where we want God to say, well done. Then we want anybody else to say, well done. Where we get to a place where we say, mama, you ain't got to tell me nothing. Daddy, you don't have to tell me nothing. Listen, my friends at school, you don't have to tell me nothing. I'm not trying to please you. I'm trying to please the Most High. Hey, I operate for an audience of one, and that's it. I'm not trying to be cool. Hey, God, I'm trying to be Christ. Amen. That's what I'm trying to be. Amen. And so we got some girls in here and some guys in here. You want the praise of men for your little group, amen? And all they praise for is for you sleeping with a whole bunch of girls, or for you getting to this boy and that boy. That's not good for you. And so you're doing all the wrong things, amen? And you have a propensity to do that, to be cool, to be liked for the praise of men. And you got to understand, in high school, in college, in middle school, our kids, even in elementary, that praise of men, that peer acceptance is so strong, amen. And as parents, we got to continually put God before them and say, listen, who cares what people think about you? As long as God loves you, that's it. Hallelujah. And not only does God love you, but I love you. When the men of God going to start telling their boys, I love you, amen? Start hugging them again. I love you. You see, they looking for love in all the wrong places because they're not getting it from you, man. If you would just soften up and tell somebody you love them, man. You know, they do it for the praise of men. That's what Saul's problem was. When God had gave him a directive to deal with the Amalekites and slay Agag and everything, the cattle and everything. And Samuel comes and he says, listen, there's Agag right here. He spared Agag, and there's cattle and sheep and all this. And Samuel was like, what's happening? First thing Saul says, the people. The people made me. The people wanted. He wanted the praise of men more than he wanted the praise of God. This is the reason, friends, when we get into crowds and we have friendships, amen, that bad company corrupts good character. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Let me give you another reason we are prone to corruption by our company, because of our predisposition to rebellion. Predisposition to rebellion. When I say predisposed, I'm talking about something that is already on the inside of us. As human beings, our human nature, amen, does not like authority, amen. Some of us do better than it than others, amen. But all of us have this predisposition to rebellion. And the first people we rebel against, the first person, is God. You can see it in the Garden of Eden, amen, when Adam and Eve were given a directive, a command. You can have all the trees of the garden. You can eat from any fruit of the tree, any tree. But this one tree is the one I don't want you to touch. But because of this predisposition to rebellion, a serpent, a snake come in, don't even know him, had not done anything good for them at all. But with a couple of questions, had God said, and God only knows this, and God, but you see, we only tempted away by our own lust. We tempted away by things that's already inside of us. And I'm trying to tell you, amen, that all of us got a little bit of rebellion in us. A little bit of rebellion. And that's why we got to watch our company, saints. Because that little bit of rebellion, amen, listen, a little spark with some gas thrown on that will cause a fire, amen? And that's the whole deal, that's the whole deal. So amongst bad company, they come and they say, listen, these commandments not for us. God want us to be happy. No, you don't have to stay married. No, you could do it. And all of those things and us looking up and not wanting to submit to his authority, there we go. Prone to rebellion. And that bad company, it corrupts that good character. But it's not only with God, saints. It's all authority we have a predisposition to rebel against. And after God, it's our parents, you see? And all that needs to happen is a little snake come in. A little, hallelujah, slitherer. Maybe it's a little boy or a little girl. And they come in, they start whispering to your kids, oh, your parents are so uptight. They got too many rules and they think their way of Christianity is the only way of Christianity. Oh, I wouldn't listen to them if I was you. And because what we have on the inside of us, a child that was good before that, a child that was obedient before that, a child that mama would take food out of her mouth and give to that child, daddy would take clothes off his back and clothe that child. Now all of a sudden that child rebelling against authority. I'm going to tell you something, that's wicked, man. And that ain't nothing but the devil. You with me so far? I want to tell you, young person, that mama, that daddy been nothing but good to you. While they have not been perfect, ain't nobody perfect. You ain't perfect. But I tell you what, they put a roof over your head. They put some clothes on your back, amen. They put some food in your stomach. And for you to let this little boy, hallelujah, that you're going to only be with for 3 months and a day, because after you, he's going to go and hit the next one, amen. Anybody hear me up in here? For you to let him come, amen, and usurp the authority of your parents and get you to rebel, amen, that's a wicked thing, friends. And what you need to know is this scripture is clear. Bad company corrupts good character. That's why you got to watch so much as a parent. But not only with God, not only as a parent, but even, amen, as a pastor. As a pastor. We not only have, hallelujah, godly authority. We not only have, hallelujah, parental authority, but there is such a thing called ecclesiastical authority, which is the authority of the church. And hallelujah, it's a real authority. It is the reason why I can come and speak into your lives like I do, is because God has anointed and ordained, amen, and put somebody here to do that. But when your pastor's been good to you, amen, never done anything wrong personally to you, always watching your back and praying for you. You get in trouble, he the first one there. Hallelujah, or the second one there. For you to allow somebody to come up and start bumping their gums and talking about this and talking about that, let me tell you, that's wickedness and it's utter foolishness. That's what it is. That's what it is. That's what it is. And when you ask them, big brother, you say, well, what did I do to you? They can't answer nothing. I never done nothing personally to you. But bad company corrupts good character. And you have no idea, no idea how many people have left this church because of a third party, amen, gossiping spirit, amen, that done got people having beef with me when I have done absolutely nothing to them personally. Anybody hear me up in here? All right. So you got to be careful of that. We're going to get all into it and everything like that. You know what I'm saying? And I want to especially talk to the men up in here. Amen. Because sometimes your wife could be that person. Amen. Your wife could be that one bumping the gums. Amen. And getting you to despise ecclesiastical authority. Amen. You hate me for no reason. When I done been good to you. And if you can't find a reason, it's because, listen, a talebearer separated chief of friends, best friends. And we're going to get off into that in a second. You know what I'm saying? If she don't want to be here, let her go. Boy, that ball cutting up, huh? Oh! Let her go. Let her go. And you tell her, oh, call me. You know what I'm saying? We're going to talk. When you find a church like that, you go ahead and tell me. And we're going to go there. You know? Oh, God. Oh, God. It ain't nothing but the devil. It ain't nothing but the devil. But we're going to get into it. Listen, give me a little time. I got another little point that I'm going to address it one more time. One more again, all right? I'm going to get deeper. Y'all just wait for me, all right? Even like, you know, hallelujah, your vocational authority at work. You know, we got a proneness to rebel against our bosses at work. Now, through them, the Lord pays you a paycheck where you can go to the grocery store and buy food and keep lights on and keep a roof over your head. And them people done been good to you. Not every boss is bad. I understand that. You know what I'm saying? And so now all of a sudden you got this person coming in at work and talking about your boss and your miss. Before that person came, you ain't never even had a problem with your boss. Just like before you start talking to them, you ain't had a problem with your pastor. Just like Adam and Eve, before the snakes start talking, they ain't never had a problem with God. That's how you... I'm trying to give you the game, man. This is how I operate in my life. You see what I'm saying? There's certain people I know that I can't hang with, man. Woo! Have mercy. And so you got to watch that, man. Listen, we got to keep moving, amen. But we just got to watch that. You know what I'm saying? We have a predisposition to rebellion. There's one of the most famous hymns, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And I love that old hymn, man. And it talks about how our hearts are prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. The songwriter knew his own heart. How his heart was prone to go astray. You see? If you don't know that, you will never understand. Amen. The corrupting influence a friend that's close to you can have. Know thyself, my friend, and they won't get to you. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me give you another one. Amen. That makes us prone to corruption by bad company. Hallelujah. It's not only, amen, hallelujah, the praise of men we seek. Not only the predisposition to rebellion, but also the pleasures of sin. The pleasures of sin. Because of the pleasures of sin, we are prone, amen, to fall to this bad company, amen. What I mean by that is that, listen, we save, amen, but we're not yet made perfect, amen. And the Bible tells us that all of us, though we are saved, amen, we are not fully redeemed because we reside in a fallen flesh, a fallen nature, amen. That's why Paul says the good that I want to do, that I don't do, and the evil I don't want to do, that's sometimes what I find myself doing. We are a dichotomous, a trichotomous creature, hallelujah, living in an old flesh, amen. The soul is in the middle and the spirit of God, and it's a tug of war that's going on, amen. When you realize that, amen, and you realize that all of us in our sinful nature, we all have areas of weaknesses. Your weakness might not be my weakness, but we all have them. Now, it's only the super spiritually proud that don't know their weaknesses. And that's how you can tell they really babies. Amen. Yeah. When you grow up, you know what you're prone to do. Amen. 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 And so the Bible describes it as our besetting sin. That's what the Bible describes it as. It's something that we have a problem with. For some, it's their temper. It's for other ones, it's alcohol. It's some drug or something like that. And we got to really fight. Other people don't have to fight like that. But we got to fight. Amen. For some men, it might be lust in women. And for others, it's money. And you got to fight that thing. You got to, every day when you wake up, have your attention on that thing. Because if you ever take your eye off that thing, that thing is going to try to jump back on you. And so you got to be vigilant for your adversary roaming about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So because of those weak spots, amen, we are prone to corruption through bad company. Listen to me good. What's your weak spot? Because the devil's going to send somebody, amen, that's going to tempt you in that weak spot, amen. It's when you just got off the wagon and you're not drinking no more. Hey, the devil's going to send somebody bad company. Hey, it ain't nothing wrong. We just work a hard day. Why don't we go get us a couple and go sit down over here by the store and do nothing and get tacolato down drunk? All right? Now, for a regular person, that would be nothing. Of course, that stuff don't even taste good. But for a person with a weakness in that area, that's a tremendous temptation, amen. That's why we stay away from bad company. That's why if a brother had a past in drug abuse, amen, you don't roll with people that had a past in drug abuse and somebody that's not really trying to live after God. Because the last thing you want, amen, you pick them up on the street, they get in the car with you and it's just you and them, and they start talking that drug talk. Next thing you know, you out of church for a month, you back on some type of drug fix, amen, and it's all because bad company corrupts good character. I'm trying my best up in here. That old apple. As soon as you make contact, the rottening starts. Yeah, this is the situation right here. Amnon lets a bad friend with bad influence make contact with him. You see? Hallelujah. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Point number two. Y'all still up? Come on, let's talk about it. Okay, now that you know that we're prone to corruption, you are not a superman and you're not a superwoman. You know? Bad company corrupts us all, man. You know? There's some people that Billy Graham had to stop talking to and hanging with. You know what I'm saying, Doug, his boy. You know, one of his best friends that had fell off the wagon and went into this liberal theology mess. Listen to me. So let's talk about it. We'll begin by talking about the people who corrupt us. Point number two, the people who corrupt us. I'm going to give you some categories of people that you need to stay away from. Amen. And boy, you're going to look, I'm telling you, you're going to be thinking about some people, amen? And you're going to be thinking about some people in your spouse's life. Don't try to do that, all right? Try to think about it in your life, amen? All right? Try your best, okay? All right. As I read Proverbs written by Solomon, one of the wisest men who ever lived, Solomon tells us in the book of Proverbs, amen, he tells us, he says, "My son, attend unto my words and incline thine ear unto my sayings." He says, "Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart." In 22, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. And Solomon is saying, if you listen to my wisdom, Solomon says, in the book of Proverbs, listen, it's going to be life to you, man. It's going to be health to you. You'll have a blessed life if you'll just listen to this. And Proverbs is a miraculous book. It has everything in it that you need for life and godliness. I'm talking about raising kids, managing money, amen. But also, for the purposes of tonight, it has within us who we should hang with and who we shouldn't hang with. Ooh, woo! My goodness, all in the Proverbs. And so we begin. Listen, A, we shouldn't hang with fools. We shouldn't hang with fools. Fools corrupt us. When you hang with a fool, you're going to become a fool. Hey, come on, somebody. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:7, go from the presence of a foolish man. Now, woman of God saying, they ain't say no woman. I can still hang with my girl. No. Man or woman. Go from the presence of the foolish when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Listen, pastor, what's a fool? I'm glad you asked me. All right. If we look at a regular dictionary, a fool is a person who acts unwisely. Do you have somebody in your life that acts unwisely? They don't really apply knowledge. They don't live in a wise fashion. They always acting like a fool, making bad decisions and doing bad things that not only affect them, but everybody around them. And so that's a dictionary definition. And you've already thought of three people already, so we praise God for that. Amen? Amen? But let me give you some biblical insight on what a fool is. Let's just go through it. And I'll try to go through it quick if you don't mind. Amen. And maybe if you've missed something, you can pick up the CD or get it online. What's a fool, Pastor? Well, a fool is somebody who does not believe in God. The Bible said the fool had said in his heart that there is no God. And so when I tell you that the Bible says, amen, go from the presence of a foolish man. If you have any friends that are atheistic and don't believe in God, amen, you better go from their presence, because that, my friend, is a fool. Amen. And sooner or later, if you don't watch it, amen, that atheistic impression, that rottenness of unbelief in God will fall upon you, and you'll start looking up and doubting God yourself. Oh, y'all ain't heard me up in here. Y'all don't hear, but I love them. God said, listen, hey, you love them more than you love me. Amen. We got eternity at risk here. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. When I say go from them, now listen, we're going to talk about how far you got to go. You ain't got to go to the point of never seeing them again. But you go, amen, to a place where you could still win them, but a place where they can't win you. All right. All right. All right. All right. I'm just saying. Okay, okay. So that's a fool. Not only does a fool not believe in God, but fools speak foolishly. The Bible says a fool utters his whole heart. I'm just going to say what's on my mind. I'm just letting it all out. Yeah, yeah. Somebody going to tell y'all that tonight. And y'all say, yep, that's one of them. That's a fool. You don't say just anything. You got to guard your mouth. Amen. You got to. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Yeah, 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 yeah. Fools don't learn from their mistakes. Yeah, yeah, you got that boy that keep going to jail? The one that keep having babies out of wedlock? The one that keep getting DWIs? Anybody hear me up in here? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fools make mistakes over and over again. All right, let's move faster. Fools hate knowledge. You got a friend that don't want to learn nothing? That's not a good sign. Fools take no pleasure in understanding. They don't want to understand nothing. Just do it for me. I don't want to understand. Not a good sign. They speak perversely. Them boys at work that always want to look at bad stuff, not a good sign. They reject parents' discipline. That friend that don't listen to mom and listen to daddy, amen, that's not a good sign, young person. Despises his mother. That young lady that hate her mama, talk about her on Facebook, want to fight her, amen, that's not a good sign for a friend, amen. You're going to despise the woman that had you? Woo! How in the world you going to like me when we fall out? That's... Hey! Brings grief to his or her parents. That's a fool. And lastly, the Bible says that a foolish woman plucked down her house with her own hands. If you got a girl and she tearing up her own house, it's not a good sign for you to hang with her. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hey! Yeah, 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 yeah. If you continue to hang around with a fool, look what the Bible says. Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with the wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Yeah, 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 yeah. Rottenness to fresh contact. Rottenness causes rottenness. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. And I can't forget when I was just coming up in the faith, a guy spoke it and I was listening. That the devil places a fool in the life of every believer. It's a strategic place. Amen. Now, I'm telling you, God's going to place some people in your life to help you, but the devil's going to place some people in your life to hurt you. And one of the worst things I see, Minister Duck, is when people go with the fool instead of the one that God strategically placed. They go with the one that the devil has strategically placed. And so they move in the path of destruction instead of moving on the path of blessing. Amen. Listen, if you lack wisdom, and I understand not all of us have that gift. You understand what I'm saying? You better ask God, God, give me wisdom. If you don't have discernment, you say, God, give me discernment. Because a lot of us think that we good judges of character and that we wise and that we can see people a mile away. When, listen, we can't see it when it's right in front of our face. Amen. I'm trying to. Hey, God, I'm trying to. Somebody say, God, give me wisdom and discernment in Jesus' name. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Pastor, who should I stay away from? Who corrupts me? Fools corrupt you. But not only fools. If you have a friend that's a gossip, oh, God, like to talk about people? Oh, my goodness. That's corruption 201. You with me so far? The Bible says in Proverbs 20 and 19, he that goeth about as a talebearer, that's a gossip. They always got a tale to tell. All right? They reveal its secrets, and that's what they tell. They tell secrets, stuff that only a few people know. The Bible says, therefore, meddle not with him. Don't mess with him. Get away from him. Don't be friends with him. Amen. Meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. And the NLT says, a gossip goes around telling secrets. Listen, so don't hang around with chatterers. Don't hang around with them. Because the same way you talk about other people, they are talking about you. You with me so far? All right? Listen, man, don't be friends with them. Don't be friends with them. You can be nice and you could be cordial, amen, but they can't be in your inner clique. You hear me, Cam? They can't be in your inner clique. You talk with them, you're cool with them, but they can't be in your inner clique. I'm going off the paper now. You gotta picture your life like a house, all right? And your house has an inside, an outside, a front yard, the street. It's got the neighborhood across the street. You see, you could be all right with people, but you got to figure out where to put them at. You see what I'm saying? Some people can be in the house with you. They don't corrupt you. It's good, and everything is ace bukun. Look, it's all right. Other people, you got to keep outside. You understand what I'm saying? We good, but you're not cool like this group because you have a propensity to corrupt me. Amen. Others can't be outside in the carport area. Amen. They got to be in the front yard by the mailbox. Amen. And you just holler at them every once in a while. Amen. When you come out to check the mail. Hey, how y'all doing? Amen. All right. Others got to be across the street, my friend. You can't just, listen. Hey, every time I see y'all get in a bad place. You know what I'm saying? So if I could just stay away from that all along. Listen, because Jesus himself didn't put everybody in his house. Amen. He had a 120, a 70, he had a 12, then he had a 3. Amen. You're going to have to begin to live your life like that. Everybody you meet and every one of your friends all in the same room inside your house. You don't know how to prioritize and see which relationships are best for you. And I'm telling you, man, we're going to get into it in a second, but they got some that can't be in the neighborhood with you. You with me so far? Come on now. So gossips, the Bible says, listen, stay away from them. And this is why the Bible says stay away from them. If we look at Proverbs 26:20, it says, where no wood is, there the fire goes out. If you stop throwing wood on the fire, eventually the fire is going to go out. And that's what the Bible is trying to say. And he's about to teach us a spiritual principle through, once again, a physical description. All right? He says, when you stop throwing wood, the fire goes out. So where there is no talebearer, a gossip, the strife ceases. Sometimes we get strife in our life. Beef between people. But it's God's sovereign will that we don't stay at beef with one another, all right? We're going to offend each other, amen, and we'll get mad for a little while and stuff like that. But God, he wants us to be at peace with all men. That's what the Bible says, amen? So we get mad every now and then at each other, and you may get mad at me for some things and stuff like that, you know? But eventually, amen, that fire is going to go out. A gossip comes along and they won't let the fire go out. Amen. They're going to come and keep throwing wood on that. Girl, you heard what Pastor said? Oh, he was talking about you, girl. Oh, this and that and the other. Oh, you should have seen First Lady. Oh, and if you heard about my Isha. They keep just throwing wood on it. And listen to me. That's why you get in situations where something happened 10 years ago. And people still beefing about it like it was yesterday. Amen. And all you got to look around, all you got to do is look around, and there's a gossip in that area. There's a gossip in that. Just know it. It's just through discernment. You could tell, oh, somebody's talking. Somebody's keeping that fire burning. Give God some praise for that wisdom. Amen. That's from the Bible. That's from the Bible. And that's the reason you don't want to hang with them, because anytime you fall out with somebody, they will never let you forgive them. And it's just going to be a constant beef and struggle and strain in your life and strife in your life. And listen, if you're a person and you see that you have nothing but broken relationships and strife everywhere, and what that gossip is ultimately doing is burning all the bridges around you. To where you look around and you have nobody left. And you say, well, at least I got my gossip friend. And they talking about you too on the other side of the bed. That's what that spirit want to do to you. You see? Don't hang around with them folk. Don't hang around with lazy people. That's what the Bible says. In Thessalonians, it talks about, amen, if a man shouldn't work, neither should he. That's right. And in 2 Thessalonians 3:14, Paul kind of summarizes the epistle, and he tells us, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, which includes working, note that man and do what? And have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. God don't want us hanging around with lazy folk, folk that don't want to work and do something, amen. Because what's going to happen is that rottenness of laziness and indolence, amen, is going to rub off on us, amen. And that's why you have whole little groups and cliques of guys, amen. They just stay home and they play Xbox all day. They get high all day, amen. It's because they rotten in each other, amen. And one of them got to say, listen, I'm tired of having nothing and doing nothing. I don't have no money. All I own is my Xbox, and we can barely find a TV to play it on. I need to go out, get out and do something. I got to get me a job and a family. We all still stuck in the same place. I say don't hang with them. Another group of people, angry people. Oh yeah, you got your friend with a temper? Ooh, stay away from that. Now we got some Christians that used to have a temper. All right? Hey, God. And I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about people that's, you know, not working on their temple. You know what I'm saying? And the Bible tells us clearly in Proverbs 22:24, make no friendship with an angry man. With a furious man, thou shalt not go. You see? And I'm going to tell you, listen, could you imagine having a friend with a temper that just explodes like gunpowder? They won't fight. They won't go and get somebody. You see what I'm saying? I remember one night, man, some bad things happened, man, and I was involved in some bad stuff. And hallelujah, that brother, you know, they did something, stole something, didn't put something right. You know what I'm saying? And so man, them brother grabbed their guns, man. Well, one brother, he grabbed his gun. He said, let's go get them, oh. I said, wait up, dog, wait. I'm mad, but I ain't that mad. I ain't about to go kill somebody over a couple of $1,000. You see, but when you got a friend with a temper like that, the Bible say, go, thou shalt not go. Don't go with him. If I would have went with him that night, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of the time, it'd be the ones that's angry that don't get in trouble when the trouble starts. He get mad, he go out there, then I got to fight for him. Or I got to do something. You know what I'm saying? And the dude who never even started get shot or shoot somebody. We got some boys in prison like that. Well, he just got out, but I'm just saying. You know, don't have a friend like that. And the Bible said, listen, if you're not careful, the next verse say, not only stay away from going with him, the Bible said, don't hang with him in 25, lest thou learn his ways, that rottenness. With contact, it'll move from one to another. Here you go. Now you blowing up. Now you got a temper. You know, it's certain people you can't hang with. Keep moving, Pastor. The lost. You shouldn't be bosom buddies with somebody who's a non-believer, a worldling, a heathen. Amen? But Pastor, we've been knowing each other since kindergarten, since Head Start. Amen. I understand. But the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree? The Bible says, what had light with darkness, righteousness with unrighteousness, the temple of God with the temple of idols. That's what my Bible says. And it's going to come into point in your life, especially for the new Christians I'm talking about here. You're going to have to draw a line in the sand. I heard three amens up in here. You're going to have to draw a line in the sand. We can't kick it no more. Because after I do an inventory of my life, every time I get with you, I'm saved, you still lost, I wind up upsetting my God. You see what I'm saying? And I love God more than I love you. All right? And I'm going to still call you every now and then, but we can't get together like that. All right? Now, as soon as you get saved, we're going to go crazy together. We're going to vacation together. We're going to... You see? So the laws. Oh, I got another one. Hypocrites. Yeah. Hypocrites. Now, I heard one commentator say this, Malvo. He said that, hallelujah, let me see if I can get it right. He said, it's not the sinners outside the church that's the greatest danger to Christians. But it's the sinners inside the church that's the greatest danger. Don't you dare come in all bright-eyed, bushy-tail, like everybody in here right. Everybody in here ain't right. Not right. All right? So don't come in here like that. Oh, we all just saved. No. Everybody in here not saved. Everybody in here not sheep. In 1 Corinthians 5:11, the Bible tells us, but now I have written unto you not to keep company, bad company, not to keep company with who? If any man that is called a brother, he calls himself a Christian, she calls herself a Christian, but the actions say otherwise. You hear me? They call themselves a brother, but the Bible says they are a fornicator. They mess around, sleep with all kind of people. Oh, but it's my pastor. Listen, the Bible say stay away from him. Oh, out. Fornicator, covetous, greedy for money. I don't care what they call themselves. And they're running right after service trying to flip something, trying to sell some keys and some birds and some marijuana. That's not going to work. You can't hang with them. Fornicator, covetous, idolater, worshiping idols and bowing and bending the statues. A railer, amen, always talking wrong and bad to people, won't fight somebody. A drunkard, an extortioner. The Bible says, with such a one, know not to eat. Don't keep company with him and don't eat with him. It's a tougher standard for hypocrites than the lost. The Bible never said we can't eat with lost folk. He just said don't be yoked together with them in a close association. But he said a hypocrite, he said, keep no company with them and don't even sit across from the table with them. Don't eat with them. Because what's on them, you don't want to jump on you. Hey! Hey! That old hypocritical spirit, this thing destroys the church. When you, as a new believer, start to hang with somebody that's just a Christian in name and not in spirit, it's going to set you back 20 years. Because here you are, you looking to learn how to be a Christian. And you done hooked up with the wrong person. This dude a Christian, but he's still drinking, still smoking, still clubbing. He's like, oh, it's all good. Yeah, oh, God gonna forgive us. We just need to say forgive God. Go, God, forgive us before we do it. That's why they're more dangerous, man. You don't hang with hypocrites, friends. You don't hang with them. Lest you pick up their ways. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right. And it's a different than a brother having a bad day. Than a brother being a habitual hypocrite that's a way of life for him. You can tell. You can tell. Y'all with me up in here? All right. But I'm going to keep going for a second here. All right, dividers. That's the people you're not supposed to hang with, dividers. Pastor, what's a divider? You know what I'm saying? They're always trying to break people apart. One that sows discord among brethren. You with me so far? A divider. And the Bible says in Romans 16, 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them. You got that? Mark them. Walk around with a permanent Sharpie marker in your purse, and when you see them, you put a check on the back of their head. And they turn around, what you doing? Oh, nothing. Nothing, I'm just checking my highlighter, making sure it's still marked. They always work at marks. Mark them. Mark them that what? Now, this is stringent stuff, y'all. He's not only telling you, amen, not to associate with them. He's not telling you not to eat with them. He's not just telling you, amen, to keep no company with them. No, that's understood. He's telling you, not, look, stay away from them and mark them so you can see them from far. Oh, come on, somebody. You know, when we watched National Geographic back in the day, and they would put the little things on the animals so that they can follow the animal and know where the animal is. You see what I'm saying? They put a little tracking device on the animal. God is telling you to put a spiritual tracking device on those that cause divisions. So anytime they come in your vicinity, hey, something's going to beep in you. Boop, 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 boop. There's a divider in the area. And you already know how they're coming. They are divider. You already know how they're coming. And that's why when things happen, amen, and some trouble start, and when, as soon as you hear that there's the divider in there, you already know what they're doing. You ain't gotta, you know what I'm saying? You already know. Oh, come on, y'all. I'm trying to help y'all, man. I'm trying to give you the game. Man, you know how you know your children. You go to school and them teachers say your child did that. You know when that was your child. Yeah, he do got a problem with that. You know what I mean? That's how he's saying, mark them like that. Mark them like that. You see, because you'd never believe how many Christians don't mark them. They know they divide us. They know they mess up things. They mess up everything they touch. But when that same person come and talk about an upstanding Christian, talk about pastor or first lady, because they did not mark them, they listening to them. They're like, oh, really? Oh, yeah? Oh. Would it be right to say idiot in church? Would it be? Listen, that's foolish. That's absolutely foolish. That's not really knowing people. Let me teach you discernment for a second. Let me teach you discernment for a second. Stay away from dividers. Stay away from dividers. He say, mark them, okay? Mark them. Mark them. And I say a Sharpie because that's a permanent mark. Only the blood of Jesus can take that mark off. When I see him at the altar broken, shoes off, jumping on the ground, then I'm gonna move the mark then. Praise the Lord. But until then, he said, mark them that cause divisions among you. Amen. And he says at the end of that verse, and avoid them. I love Titus 3 and 10. Titus 3 and 10 in the NIV is beautiful. Look what it says. And we've done this, amen, a lot of times to people, and it's worked very well, amen, to keep the ministry sound. In Titus 3 and 10 in the NIV, let me read it to you. The Bible says, if people are causing divisions among you, give a first warning, a second warning. After that, have nothing more to do with them. That's the Bible, man. That's the Bible. Hallelujah, sister. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me give you one more. Amen. Let me give you one more. Hallelujah. If you find that you have a friend that's preaching another gospel, amen, then you can't really hang with them. Being saved through any way besides Jesus Christ, you can't be down with that. You see? And the reason you can't be down with that, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. There you go questioning the cross. There you go questioning the blood and the atonement and what Jesus did for us. And they preaching getting saved through keeping of the law or the Old Testament or keeping of church sacraments or whatnot. Amen. Listen, they can be people that you know, but they can't be close bosom buddies. They could be on the carport, but they can't be in the house with you. You know what I'm saying? Because it's gonna do something to you. It's going to mess you up. Amen. And so the Bible says, amen, in Romans 16:17, the same verse. It's a beautiful verse. It tells us, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions, but it says, and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and do what? And avoid them. And that's what 2 John 10 had on the screen just now. It says, if there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, another gospel, he's saying, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. We got to learn how to distance ourselves. And it's not that, hallelujah, we don't want to win them. All right? But we don't want them to win us, y'all. Amen? You'll be surprised. You'll be surprised how, hallelujah, a rotten fruit, amen, will spread rottenness to you. Come on, give God some glory. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, I think I'm going to stop right there. Hallelujah. And we're going to continue because we got a lot more to talk about. Amen. And we're going to jump in it, I believe, next week. And we'll talk about some other things in regards to corruption. Hallelujah. And it's very important. It's so important. I want to go over it now. Amen. But I want to honor our time. We've been really busting as a church. Amen. And folk got school in the morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Amen. Father God, we thank you so much for your goodness unto us. And we thank you for the wisdom that's in your word. And Father, we are just asking you to help us, God, to see those bad influences in our lives, Lord God. We are asking you to help us, God. Teach us. Help us not to be like Jehoshaphat, God, who was a godly man, but had an ungodly friend by the name of Ahab. And we don't want to be that way, God, because when we make fools our friends, God, we get closer to destruction. And Father, not only us, but help us, God. Help our children to get this word and to understand it and to not make lifelong relationships with people who ain't good for them, Father God. I pray for all our children that you'd rid bad friends out of their lives, God, and bring in good friends, godly friends, Father God. I'm praying in the mighty name of Jesus that even the adults in here, that they would see faces and see people, Lord God, who not good for them, Father God. And we pray you do it all by your grace and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Saints of God, listen, we're going to get ready to go. Amen. But we're going to play a little music. Hallelujah. And we're going to have a little time at the altar. And if for some reason this word has touched you, or you feel that, hallelujah, you was influenced or got a friend that's destroying you in any way, amen, you'll be able to come and just pray with me. And I'm going to pray that the rottenness will stop in its tracks. And I'm going to pray for salvation, that for those who want salvation. And we're going to ask that the hand of God just pluck that rotten fruit out your life so that you can be everything that God would have you to be. Hallelujah. When the music starts, just come, and then we're going to pray and get out of here. Oh, come in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to pray a little bit. Then we're going to get out of here. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. If you found yourself even